This is Bootstrapped Web, episode 63. It is the podcast for you, the founder who learns by doing as you bootstrap your business online. And today we are talking about consuming content and putting it into action and how we fit that into our daily work content consumption balance, if you will.
Yep. Cool.
As always, I am Brian.
And I'm Jordan. Yeah, I'm psyched for this one. We get to kind of geek out on how we procrastinate. And then we can talk about how we turn that into, you know, something actually valuable and not procrastinating.
Yep. So it's almost like a podcast about podcasts or something.
Yes. So and like blogs and Twitter
content
feeds.
Content about content. And blogs and just people. Like, we're going to kind of talk about the people that we like to kind of follow and tune into. And why and when we consume certain content and how we actually apply it in the day-to-day or not. Like, there's a lot that I just kind of consume as like casual consumption. I think it's important to strike a smart balance here, and just kind of be aware of how you consume content versus how you're actually getting real work done. So we're going to kind of tackle all these things today, but we didn't really prepare much for this, but Jordan, what's up? What's going on with your update?
Oh, let's see. My natural inclination is to say nothing new, but I think there's just so much happening that I don't really know where to start. So my default is, oh, not too much. I'd say the theme for the past week is one of strategy. It's one of, okay, instead of thinking about how to proceed on a strategy for Carthook all the time and having that be a constant, I'm at the point where I'm ready to set a strategy for a given amount of time and then stop thinking about it and just execute on that strategy and look back at the end of that time period and make a decision then on whether or not I'm on the right track or not. And a lot of this has to do with pricing and with the target customer. So up until now, you know, we have, at the early stage, we basically just take on anybody. Hey, if you're willing to try the product, man, we just need feedback. Just come on in. And then to convert those people into paying customers. And then, you know, you start going along a certain path. And now it's kind of like time to rethink. Like, okay, is that actually the best path? Should I continue to go for the relatively lower end, you know, high quantity of customers with a relatively low revenue per user, or should we go a different way? And that has a lot to do with pricing and who to go after. And right now, as the sales starts to ramp up, we're really having a new challenge. Okay, now we're getting a decent number of leads. Should we be turning some people down? Should we be focusing on one segment to the detriment of the other? Right, it's starting to get to the point where probably shouldn't just take on everybody and just say yes to everyone. So that needs to get set.
Is that because some of the leads that are coming through, they might be signing up for free trials, but then I don't want to say the customer support load, but just getting them on board, or they don't really end up being the right fit, so you spend too much time up front?
Up until now, I haven't cared because it's not that many customers, so I'm like, whatever. The customer support isn't that big of a deal. But I'm starting to project forward 6 months, and I say, do I want to have hundreds of clients at X, or do I want to have dozens of clients at 5X? And mm-hmm. and why? And who are we built for? Who's going to get the most value? So it's all these questions. So that's my update. The past week has been, what is the strategy? What's the right pricing? What's the right target customer? And then, okay, at some point, have to make a decision and essentially make an educated guess, and then kind of just put my head down for, call it 30 days, and then not rethink it until then.
And you know, this sounds like just kind of an arbitrary thing, like, oh, should we get more people on the lower tier or the higher tier or the middle tier, and like, that's it. But that impacts so many other things. Like, if you decide, like, all right, we're really going to focus on the high end, that's going to impact the way that you do content and the way that you do outreach.
Features, and, the way you talk about yourself.
And features, and
right, the way the marketing site should look and sound and talk. And should pricing be on the website, or should it be, you know, request a demo? So it really starts to flow through everything from the product to the features to the pricing to the marketing. So it really needs to get set. Up until now, I'm happy that we've
kind of... And it requires the thought. Like, it deserves a lot of thought and
It should be deliberate, right? I shouldn't just go according to what has happened thus far. Like, that will get somewhere, but that might not be the optimal path. You know, I keep talking about it internally to myself and my team as a Rubik's Cube. And we have a certain number of turns at the Rubik's Cube, and depending on the moves we make, if everything clicks perfectly, the outcome can be spectacular. And each move you mess up detracts from the outcome. So if you keep kind of playing around and time just keeps going by, then it will not be as optimal of an outcome, you know, financially and for the company as it could be. So it's got to be careful with every little move.
That's right.
How about you? What's going on?
Oh, I don't know. It's like every day it's something different right now because I'm in this weird kind of mental state. Everything just feels like it's in flux, figuring out what's going to happen next. I know there's a lot going on that I'm sorting through and trying to make certain decisions on that. Unfortunately, I can't share too much here on the podcast today. I hope to share more later on, but,
we're so shady lately.
I know it sucks, but, the conclusion that I'm coming to right now is that the thing that I want to do most and I think the thing that I should be doing most is focusing on serving my the people who've subscribed to my newsletter and serving them as best I can with more content, focusing on the productized course, coming out with new updates to that this year. A lot of exciting things going on for that this year. That seems to be where my focus is heading for the foreseeable future. And we're just having a connection here, but I think we're back. So that's going on. The other thing is, you know, my daughter just turned 1 year old and we're having a little birthday party this weekend.
Congrats.
Thanks. And it's just so crazy to think like, oh my God, it's been a year.
I know. mine's three. It's crazy. Yeah. You know where I actually had the 1-year-old birthday party? At Fat Cat, right down the block from you.
Oh, did you? Cool.
Yeah, great, that's pizza.
That's right
place.
Here in Norwalk.
Yeah. Nice. Well, congrats on that. Fun stuff.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, she's like walking around now. It's like, oh my God, what is happening?
Cool.
It's crazy.
when's her birthday?
It was March 2nd.
Oh, very nice. My second one turns 1 on March 20th. Oh, yes.
Exciting.
The good stuff. Let's get back to the boring stuff, the businessy stuff.
So, yeah, let's get right into it. The topic for today, we're talking about what are we consuming and why and when and how, right? So
yeah.
Why don't we go through our lists of the things that we're tuning into? And, you know, just so, you know, we're clear, this is not an exhaustive list. I listen to more people than this. I tune into a lot of different people and whatnot, but... these are the ones that really rise to the top in terms of what I'm really tuning into on a regular basis, like week to week.
Right. Yeah, I almost feel guilty to not include other people, especially people who are less well-known than the people that we're going to talk about, because I still get a lot out of a lot of different people. And I guess that's the power of celebrity. When someone says, think of a list of X, that this is what comes to mind. Yep.
Yeah, totally. And like there are people that I'm subscribed to a lot of people's email newsletter. I follow a lot of people on Twitter, you know, who I personally make a point of watching what they're up to and keeping tabs and I mean, you know, like friends, you know, seeing what everybody's up to. I like to do that, but this is the stuff that basically gets played on when I'm driving in the car, walking the dog, reading in the morning. So why don't we go through our lists?
Yeah, let's do it. We broke it up into, actionable, and kind of more casual and fun. So, right, let's start off with the actionable. Right there, this has a place in our version of modern business. It's not just procrastination. It's not just boredom. This is how people these days learn, and you have to learn or you fall behind. And it's enjoyable. It can be a little dangerous if you just learn all the time and chase, you know, business ideas that you hear about on interviews. But this is still a very important thing. This is like, yes, this is like ongoing education for any other industry.
Yeah. And I certainly don't think this is like, the be all end all education. Like, you're not going to learn the ins and outs of everything that you need to learn just from listening to these podcasts. But, yeah, I think they kind of keep us sharp, or at least keep us up to date.
Present. Right.
Like present and like just involved in this, especially these bootstrapper podcasts, like just really involved in this community and seeing what people are talking about and being part of that conversation, even if that means just kind of tuning in.
Yeah. So, you know, let's start off. What is on your actionable list?
Yeah. So the ones that I listed here are Startups for the Rest of Us, Mixergy, Fizzle, and Tropical MBA. And I know we both listen to a lot of these as well, but I put those here because Mixergy, today I don't listen to every Mixergy interview the way that I used to at one point. There was like probably like 1 or 2 years there where I was literally tuning in every single interview. And what happened then was I got really inspired by so many different business people, and the Mixergy courses like inspired me to do all these different strategies, you know, and just implement them right away. And then it kind of made me lose focus or not be as strategic as I wanted to be. Today, with Mixergy, I really just seek out, you know, maybe one interview every 2 weeks or so that's like really relevant to what I'm working on right now, you know, or a founder who has gone through a similar path that I'm going through. That's kind of what I look for in Mixergy. Startups for the Rest of Us, I'm tuning in every week. Tropical MBA, just about every week. Fizzle, mostly for the entertainment value, to be honest, but I think that's also pretty relevant, the things that they're talking about, especially around content and understanding your audience and knowing who your readers are. I really like everything that they've been talking about there.
Yeah, I don't listen to that. I should give that more of a try. Yeah, I love the Tropical MBA guys.
Just listen to Chase's like voices. All right, that's enough.
Okay, good to know. Voices are allowed on podcasts, because I got voices, man. It's just I want to see where I can fit them in. I like the Tropical MBA guys because it's a really different perspective. It's like international. And it's like strategic and like tax issues, and it's all mixed in with like the emotional side of the nomad thing and freedom. It's a really interesting perspective on just like business people in general.
Yeah, that's actually the one aspect of their show that I kind of tune out of, is when they're really focused only on nomads or like specifically working in Asia. Which
Right.
I think it's so cool to listen to it as like wouldn't that be really cool to do that? But
not
that's
relevant.
Not relating to what we're doing. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also
But that's only a small part of it. You know, like they just talk business and they really know what they're talking about. So
yeah. And Mixergy, I'm with you 100% on. I think that's the single best resource for entrepreneurs these days. And if you're a premium member, I have been for a long time, and that is worth many times what you pay. The library, right? So nowadays, right, the general theme of how this stuff has evolved for us, it's when you don't have an idea yet and you want to start a business, this stuff is really challenging. You listen to Mixergy, you know, I would do this back in the day, and I would listen to someone and hear about how much money they made and how fast they grew, you know, your eyes kind of pop out, and all of a sudden you start to kind of chase that idea and see things in that industry, and that can be distracting. That's challenging. The evolution where it can go is once you have a business, once you're working on an idea and you're committed, then all of a sudden you're much more targeted in what you're looking for.
Yes.
Yeah, and Mixergy, totally. The library is so big that pretty much anything that you're curious about or are focused on, there are like several episodes for sales, for fundraising, for marketing, for LinkedIn, like anything you can think of.
That's exactly like almost knowing Mixergy was there and being so inspired by all the sheer number of interviews and courses. And this is even dating back to like 2010. There were still a lot of them back then. Because back then I think he was doing daily. So.
Yeah.
That's what like allowed me to launch Restaurant Engine. I was like, Restaurant Engine in many ways for me was like powered by Mixergy, you know?
Yeah.
Like it, I relied so heavily on it just to learn the basics of marketing, or at least like get some inspiration from other founders. I still didn't know what the hell I was doing back then, but, you know, it definitely helped in terms of just like coming up with ideas. I remember like social media strategies and PR strategies and
yeah, it's a real launching point. It's like Mixergy is where you hear about these things, then you go off and discover more and discover other people that are around that topic. And then you come back to Mixergy and yeah, it's an amazing thing. I assume 90% of the people listening to this right now also at the very least are aware of Mixergy. And if you aren't, then above all others on this entire list, I would say that's the place to go. And that's really the launching point. It gives you this information to work off of.
I'd probably throw Startups for the Rest of Us in there as well. That's probably the one that I recommend the most to other people who, if they haven't heard of it already, mm-hmm. Is, and they start talking about like, I want to get into software startups.
Yeah, if it's like, if it's software,
listen to Rob and Mike.
Right. If it's software,
talking about.
Cool. So yeah, the only one on your list that I don't listen to regularly is Fizzle, but I will check that out.
They're great.
Especially if they're entertaining and funny.
Oh yeah.
Cool. So my list is a little longer, so we'll go shorter per person. Speaking of looking for topics that are relevant. My man, Steli Efti, the CEO of Close.io, has been my main man lately, right? So let's say the past month, I've been focused on sales and sales process and outbound and CRM and prospecting and generating leads and all this stuff. Steli, he doesn't have his own like podcast or blog. He's just the CEO of Close.io, but he creates a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
He did this amazing speech recently, like Hustle Harder. I'd like to link that in the show notes. Phenomenal, phenomenal speech. You hear about his story. You hear about...
Good.
Yes.
Yeah, good stuff. I think... Did they just announce he's going to be speaking at MicroConf?
They did just announce that, which is very freaking exciting.
That's going to be awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, I've always been a fan of his stuff, for sure. I hear him on a bunch of podcasts.
And energetic and inspiring. Awesome. On the other side of the spectrum is Jason Cohen, the heady, professorish, you know... smart, quiet, calculating guy, but he knows stuff. So I really respect his content and his point of view, and it's different. It's almost like anti 37 signals in some ways, and he's just a very
still very much the bootstrapped mentality, even though today he runs a very big company, you know, that's beyond, like, you know, VC backed and all that, but the mentality, like he still connects with so many, you know, mm-hmm. self-funded and just giving, I like the way that he just boils down really complicated, concepts into like, look, this is the formula and here's why this formula works. This is the framework, you know?
Yeah. Like, and it's a really
clear way of communicating that.
Right. And he keeps it on the ground level. Like you kind of get a sense that he could go further into the background of that formula and why it exists in that way. But he doesn't, he kind of just helps explain it. So, and he also doesn't shy away from the topic of money, which is just something that I am drawn toward and respect. People who don't
dance around.
Yeah, if you never talk about money at all, I don't know. We're in business. This is weird. It's about money. So he explains, you know, why he's doing what he's doing with WP Engine and how the sale of his first company kind of allowed him to cross over right into that next phase of financial needs, where his family's taken care of and he can kind of have more fun, and that's why he's doing it. So he just does not ignore that side of things, which I respect, on top of just like, you know, we've talked about his speech at MicroConf, the perfect bootstrap startup. That's phenomenal. And I think he's actually going to be there this year as well.
Yep.
Cool. Yeah. Let's see. Patrick McKenzie, Patio 11. He's great. He's almost too geeky for me. He's like developer-y, and he's like throwing out these inside jokes that I am not on the inside of. But he's awesome and just like a nice, smart, successful guy.
Again, like so smart and so well thought out in the way that he writes. I mean, really lengthy blog posts.
Right.
But and every time I read one, I'm like, I'm still kind of glued to the page, because I almost feel like he doesn't get enough credit for his writing skills.
Yes, great writer.
You know, I think most people respect him for the smart ideas and the actionable advice that he gives, mm-hmm. but the way that he lays out, you know, because I think on like reading online and reading blogs online, it's generally a turnoff when the article is like super, super long. And I found that in my own blog posts, is like when I go on too long, people just don't connect with it as much as they do with the shorter posts. And I've been trying to edit my stuff as much as I can to get it shorter and more consumable. But his stuff is like, I almost like want it, like the longer the better, because mm-hmm. it's like every time all the stuff that I'm reading through is like so packed with insights that it's good stuff.
He also has a voice, and yeah. you can hear it, his little asides and his like geeky comedy, you know, so you listen to his speeches and then you read his writing and it's like, oh, that's the same person with the same voice, and you can almost hear it in your head as he's making a little funny joke off to the side, or he throws in like a mathematical formula as yeah. part of the right as part of the writing.
Yeah, I mean, like writing the way that you speak, I mean, Patrick McKenzie does it really, really well. Brian Harris is another person who does that incredibly well, and almost on like the other side of the spectrum of like style and voice, but it's still so authentic.
Yes, yes. And I think that's his strongest thing, that his, not only his creative ideas, but he puts it out in a really, in a great way. Yep. Along with that, Brendan Dunn, a great writer, I mean, pretty much above all other things. If he didn't write as well as he does, nothing would work as well as it does for him. I always like to keep an eye on what Brennan's doing.
Yeah, and Brennan, he just gives so much value, and what's great about what he does is like he knows his audience so well that he's not just writing stuff that they'll like kind of like, but he's writing stuff that like he knows will actually help them make more money, get more sales, or you know, get more clients. Like he's actually solving real problems in every single blog post that he comes out with.
Right, every post.
And it might not. And sometimes he'll take breaks, like you know, not do it for a week or two. But like you know, like when he's sending something, it's value. So yeah, that's why he's done so well.
Right, he puts like an 8-part email course together. Like every email is a real problem he's addressing, and he writes almost in a way as if like if you hired him and said, I'm going to pay you $500 to sit down with me at a coffee shop for half an hour to solve this one problem, he's like, he gives everything to you.
Totally.
So what else? I listen to E-commerce Fuel. That's a podcast, and I'm also part of that's by Andrew Udarian, who is great in the e-commerce world, and he also has a private forum I'm a part of. And that has been impressive in terms of the content and the people. So that helps me kind of keep my finger on the pulse of the e-commerce world for Carthook. Mm-hmm. What else? On slightly differently, I like Frank Kern and Mike Fulsame from the like affiliate product info product worlds. I think they're just like the two most talented of that bunch. So watching
super, just like super aggressive with the marketing, but they've been so really smart. Successful, and you can learn a lot.
Oh from, my, from yeah, following them for so sure. So talented, and that world, those guys have risen to the top not because they're the slimiest, but because they're the smartest, and they do things the right way, and they're like anti-slimy, and yeah, those guys are worth watching. Frank Kern and Mike Fulsame. The last thing is Growth Hackers. You know, I don't go to the site, but I follow them on Twitter, and that Twitter feed is ridiculous. It is so, so good.
You know, I only started following that feed, the site. I'll go to the site every now and then, like recently, and I like it. They're definitely, it's one of those like link upvoting type mm-hmm. of sites.
Right, just focused.
Yeah.
You know, on things that you care about.
Totally.
And lastly, First Round, which is a venture capital company, they recently launched a blog that is just outstanding. So yeah, First Round, I don't know if it's First, I think it's just firstround.com. I think it's First Round Capital, whatever. It's a VC company, but they're doing content marketing, which is super interesting. I guess they're watching the Brad Feld's and the, you know, Fred Wilsons of the world kind of make a name for themselves by doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, those, I mean, those, from the VC world, like the Bradfeld and Fred Wilson are the ones that I kind of read fairly regularly, just to kind of, I like their writing. I like, they're clearly, you know, smart people. So
yeah, good to hear. And even if it's not that relevant, or you're not raising, you know, a $2 million round, yeah, this and that, it's still really good.
Paul Graham as well, is like, when an essay comes out, it's like, gotta read it.
Yeah, it's, I agree. That's, he's got that down. He's like, I don't talk a lot, but when I talk, the entire internet reads this.
That's right.
And that's it. And lastly, just to be a little bit nasty, I like to listen to people who make a lot of money. You know, I just appreciate people who can kind of back it up, and not like, not the things that we're used to seeing. You know, not the, I have a successful software company that makes 20 grand a month. It's like the people who, you know, who freaking print money and make millions.
So how do you go about like seeking those people out, and what do you like, what's an example of like someone that you'd like follow in that way?
I guess, I don't know, like a Mark Cuban comes to mind, or just,
you know, Mark Cuban is, I've become such a bigger fan of his over the years. And when I first, like as a kid, like as a basketball fan, I hated him as the owner of the Mavs, but yeah, like after like Shark Tank and hearing interviews with him in other places, it's like I've become such a fan of like the way he talks about business, you know?
Yeah, the way he talks about it, the way he thinks about it. So I think that is just helpful and healthy, not to keep the blinders on. It's kind of why I like Frank Kern and Mike Filsaime. Those guys will do a launch of a software product, and they'll do it in their way, and they'll make like $6 million on a 1 week launch. And they're just thinking in big numbers. And I think it's just healthy to kind of have that as part of your thought process and the examples that you compare yourself to and challenge yourself with.
Yeah, you know, like on that note, like I don't necessarily seek out people who, like, you know, millionaires, billionaires, are just, and they don't necessarily catch my attention, I think, in that way. But what does fascinate me are like the best of the best in whatever it is, especially like professional athletes. You know, I am fascinated by like Tiger Woods and LeBron James, and like, what is it about them that's like, and like Michael Jordan, you know, what is it about them that they're not only in the best league in the world, but they're the best of the best? Like, how do they function on that level, or how do they perform on that level? Like, what's different? You know, right. I've always been fascinated by that.
Just that the peak of performance.
Yeah, like the you know, Malcolm Gladwell's book, Outliers.
Yeah, that's
really
interesting.
Hit home for me for sure.
Yeah, know? That's interesting. Outliers is interesting because it brings those people down to earth, and it kind of makes the right. It makes the argument that it's not as much that these people are just superhuman and special. It is also these other factors. I think for me, like the whole celebrity thing and athlete thing. Right, I'm 35 years old. I've pretty much proven to myself that I'm not that exceptional, right? I'm not like the Midas touch entrepreneur that everything you touch turns to gold, and I'm not, you know, hanging out with celebrities. So like, okay, maybe I'm just not at the peak of performance. And so maybe those people I look at and I admire, but I'm like, it has nothing to do with me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't say like I can learn anything from them or take any, like anything that's really going to help me. I'm just for some reason like I've always been fascinated by like the best player on the court. Like, why are they performing differently than everyone else? You know?
Yeah.
I think a lot of it comes down to like, not even just the physical strength or the, you know, the athletic skill. Cause everybody on the court has that. Michael Jordan is just like hyper competitive. Like, he has this like mental thing that, or, you know, the best pitchers in baseball, it's not because they throw a couple miles an hour faster than everyone else. I mean, everybody in the league throws 100 miles an hour. The best ones win at the mental game.
Right. Something's
there's
different.
Something different. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
I agree. Interesting stuff. So that's kind of our hardcore list. I mean, you want to get into some of the stuff that we consume, like for fun, casually, you know, or move on to.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted to mention a couple, because like these are not The difference between, like, so these would still be considered, like, business podcasts, mm-hmm. but I don't listen to them thinking, like, all right, I'm going to listen to this episode, and it's really going to help me with this project that I'm working on today. These are things that I just like to listen to for fun, because we live and breathe this stuff, right?
Because there's silence, and it must be filled.
Yeah, pretty much. Smart Passive Income, Pat Flynn, you know. I think it would be more actionable for me if I were in a similar type of business, like, you know, like an affiliate marketing type of thing. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really interesting to hear stories from the lesser known people that he has on and how they've turned things around for themselves. And just the way that Pat, like, produces his podcast, I think is really just excellent, you know. Bootstrapped with Kids, you know, they almost went away there for a month, and they just came back this week. I was glad to hear that. You know?
I love those guys. And a lot of times it is actionable, but it's, like, so much fun listening to them that it's almost just categorized as casual because it's, you laugh. It's a great show.
I think they're in this group of bootstrappers in this community who I literally just tune into them to hear their update. And I think Startups for the Rest of Us, Rob and Mike, I'm mostly tuning in to hear their update. And the actionable stuff is good and it's cool, but there's just a group of podcasts that I just want to hear what's new, you know? And
true.
And that's how I look at, like, Bootstrapped with Kids. So Build and Launch, I think, is another one. Justin Jackson, which for a while he was doing the Product People mm-hmm. podcast. I don't know if he's going to bring that back or not, but lately he's been doing the Build and Launch a couple times a week.
Interesting concept. Sounds insane to me, but I haven't listened yet. Is it good?
Yeah, it is good. It's they're, like, bite-sized episodes, maybe 10-15 minutes each.
I mean, he's a warrior. You know, he gets a lot done.
Yeah, it is good, though. He actually produces it very differently than he did the previous podcast, because this one is, like, cut up into chunks. Like, he'll like say something like, yeah, and, like, the other day I was talking to my friend Jared Drysdale about how I'm going to launch this product. Let's cut to that. And then they cut to, like, a recording of him talking to Jared.
Cool.
And then like, another time, like, he called up a competitor because he released the same ebook topic mm-hmm. and they recorded that their phone call, and, like, he talked about it, and then they cut to that and then, like, talked about it again. And, like, you know, it's just really well produced music, and the way that it's all edited together, it's really pretty cool.
Very cool.
Ask Gary V. I've been into this one. I don't listen to every episode, but it just pumps you up, man. Like, Gary V just, like, you listen to him, and it's like, if you need to get, like, 5 minutes of like, just
energy,
it's just energy.
Yeah.
You know? It's good for that, you know? And I do think that there are some real business insights hidden underneath the layer of, like, excitement and energy that he brings, you know?
Yeah. So that one's kind of new, right? 'Cause he kind of floated away from my, like, mental sphere, because he got into other things and started moving up market, working with bigger companies, and it was kind of like, you know, it wasn't as relevant. And all of a sudden, I follow him on Twitter, and this Ask Gary V thing, I've definitely watched a few of them, and it's a different thing. It almost kind of brings him back into our sphere a lot more.
Yes, and so back in the day when he was doing Wine Library TV, and then he got popular, he became known for social media. Mm-hmm. As, like, the guru for that. And that's almost kind of what led me and probably a lot of us who are in this community away from him, because it's like, all right, we're not really getting too much new ideas or actionable stuff. But I think in this new podcast, which maybe almost a year now or something like that, maybe 6 months, something like that, but it's like daily, and it's all questions, and a lot of them are social media related, but then there are a lot of just straight business mm-hmm. questions, and he doesn't go deep. They're only, like, 5-6 minute episodes, but you know, they're little gems of wisdom and just energy and passion.
Yeah.
What else we got? Gently Mad, Adam Clark. He was on a previous episode here talking about podcasting. The Gently Mad is a really great show. The way he puts it together, it's really casual, laid back conversation, not very focused, and he intends it to not be very actionable. He just kind of wants to understand the person behind mm-hmm. what everyone kind of knows about them. So that, I think that's an interesting show to tune into. James Altucher, I always have trouble pronouncing his name. The James Altucher show.
Altucher.
Yes.
This is my guess.
Some business interviews, some non-business interviews. I think he's just a great interviewer.
Yeah.
I have such a great respect for really good interviewers. You know, I think anyone can just invite any guest and throw up a bunch of questions. Very few take the time to really understand the right questions to ask in the right sequence and with the right follow-up and know how to guide the person and he's a really good.
Yeah, it's like a learned skill and also requires like emotional intelligence at a high level, like have the right timing. And he's a cool guy. He's an interesting cat.
Yeah, totally.
Successful and humble to the extreme.
Yep.
Right.
I've been tuning into Zen Founder. It's Rob Walling and Sherry Walling's new podcast. Couple episodes in. It's been really, really good. Got a lot of good insights in there.
It talks about a side of things that you don't normally hear about. Where it's like life as an entrepreneur, married life as an entrepreneur, parent life. Yeah, that one I listened to like the first two episodes and sent them over to my wife. And I was like, you know, I think she would get a lot out of it.
That's true. I listened to one of them in the car with my wife the other day. And it's a really, really cool show. I like what they're doing there. The other thing that I'll mention, this is not a podcast, but you know, you got to say, or for me, like Seth Godin, I'm reading almost every day his daily blog posts.
Really? He puts out daily blog post. They're almost like too ethereal. They're like conceptual. Yeah. And I get it. And I see the value in like his version of genius. Right, he sees it in a little different way, and the ability to make it really short and concise, you have to respect also. I guess that again makes sense.
He's in my feed of blogs that I read every morning, and
you can read it in 60 seconds.
Yeah, I mean they're so short and so insightful. Every time I whether I'm watching a TED talk from him or reading one of his books or his blog posts, it's he's one of these guys, like a pro athlete who just performs at the top of his game in terms of like sharing really insightful stuff every single day. Like, how does he show up and get all this stuff? Like, how does he process all these thoughts and then write it? Like, I mean, it's because he's done it every day for years. Mm-hmm. But just really, really good stuff. And I think most of all, I just respect him as a writer more than anything, and to learn how to like be so concise. That's something that I struggle with and I want to get better at, and he's the best.
Cool. What's next? We have some like communities formed.
I wanted to, you know, mention a couple of communities. And maybe before we jump into this one, like, when do you listen to podcasts or consume blogs, or like, how do you fit it into your day?
I don't commute anymore. So that's when I would really get into it, or I would listen to audiobooks or something. So I really kind of have it going throughout the day. But when I want to focus on a task, I switch to music. So the podcasts almost come in when I'm a little bit more relaxed. I'm like, all right, let me just go through my email and respond and clean up my inbox for half an hour, put on a podcast. Let me do, you know, this.
I can never listen to podcasts while I'm doing any kind of work. No matter what kind of work. Doesn't happen. I listen to music, and usually music that's instrumental. Mm-hmm. It's the lyrics or the talking that just I can't read or write alongside that.
Yeah, and I've gotten into the somewhat bad habit of just having on a podcast pretty much all the time in my off time when I'm by myself. You know, I wake up first in the house, start taking care of the dogs, have a coffee, clean up the dishwasher. You know, there's a podcast going. So it's these like little gaps.
That's the same with me. I listen when I walk the dog, when I'm home in the middle of the day, home alone, I'm making my lunch, just kind of watching the baby or doing the dishes. I'm listening. Then I'm usually listening in the car. I've got about a 5-minute drive between home and the office. I'm listening then, anywhere else I'm driving, I'm probably listening to something. So,
yeah. So this is, that's the interesting thing that brings up, right? So you listen to a podcast wherever you listen to it. While you're doing something, while you have time off in the morning, whatever it is, it's interesting how what you learn and what you hear about on a podcast, it just kind of soaks into your brain, and then Right, that has a way of keeping you current it's a very passive way to do it. But then all of a sudden you get into a conversation with someone or you start to think about how should we go about doing this outbound sales process thing. And then all of a sudden your brain kind of has it accessible, all this stuff that you listened to and learned about and read. So the time between when it soaks in and when you're actually using it, it can be anywhere between like immediate to weeks. But this stuff has a way of just kind of soaking in. The more you consume, the more stuff you have accessible, the more your vocabulary expands around this stuff, the more tools you're aware of and competitors. And it's a very funny thing how we can do that. And then you can still pull it out and use it, even though you weren't very proactively, you know, focused on exactly what you were hearing.
Yeah, I mean, like one thing that I'm actively trying to change about my routine is to get away from podcasts, frankly, and get more into audiobooks, which I've been into audiobooks for a while, but I don't give them enough time. Like they don't equal the amount of time that I do podcasts. And sometimes I feel like just listening to the same podcasts again and again and kind of in many ways the same topics repeating again and again, it's not expanding my mind or my experience or giving me new ideas. And I need to get into more books. I read before bed usually. And typically I look at business books the way that I look at podcasts. It's like what's most actionable to what I'm working on right now. But now I'm trying to get to just pick an interesting book, whether it's business or otherwise, and get into it. So like right now I'm listening to Zero to One, the business book.
Yeah.
I'm also reading... what is it? It's like a presidential historian, Doris Kearns Goodwin's.
Oh yeah,
recent book.
Oh, her recent one. Yeah,
about Theodore Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. Just getting into that, you know.
Yeah, I think that's good. It helps you think. It helps your brain. Helps your idea creation. Zero to One is a good example. When I heard about the book, I immediately dismissed it as that's just not going to be relevant. That's just going to be a billionaire, Peter Thiel, talking about billionaire stuff and
right.
companies that change the world, and that's not that relevant. But then you read the book, and it's very interesting, and it's about ideas more than anything. And then you take that and you apply that to your universe of experience, and all of a sudden, it's very relevant.
Yeah, and I think he says in the book, it's a book about how to think about certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like kind of giving you a different perspective on how to think through really complex ideas. You
yeah.
know?
He clearly has for a very long time and very,
yep.
very effectively.
Yep. Other ways that I spend a couple minutes here and there, if I'm like waiting online somewhere or, you know, just kind of sitting around a couple minutes to kill, I like to hop onto a couple of communities. I'm doing this more recently than I did before. I never used to be a big forum guy, but lately I have been. So discuss.bootstrapped.fm from the Bootstrapped FM guys. By the way, I do enjoy their podcast. I just don't listen to it as often as I'd like. Probably because it's just very long, and I mean ours is very long, but
we can't. I don't know. We can't help it.
Yeah, I am a fan of the forum for sure, and fan of both Ian and Andrew, you know, what they've been up to. But bootstrappers.io is another site. It's similar to Growth Hackers, but kind of focused on the bootstrapping community. A lot of good, you know, there's not enough volume of articles there. I hope that site gets a little bit more traffic and popular. But that's a good one. Product People Club, Justin Jackson's. I think it's basically a Slack room at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in there, which is cool. It's a really good community, a lot of good discussion going on. The only thing that I don't like about it is that it's Slack. I really like Slack for my team,
mm-hmm.
for a small team and getting work done and pinging each other with questions and stuff. But for a large group, networking group or whatever, it does not work for that purpose. I wish people would not use it.
Yeah, that, for that purpose. That sounds strange. I have... It's ridiculous. The adoption rate for Slack is it's like the highest I've ever come across of any product. It is there is zero friction. You just adopt into that product and start using it on a daily basis without even noticing. It's just literally.
It's got that viral thing, like people invite you to a group and then you start using it yourself.
It's just literally the easiest way to communicate. And then all of a sudden everything is there and links and files. And it's just, it's absurd. We have adopted into Slack like overnight. It's just, let's give this a try. Bang.
I think it's great for teams for that purpose. Yep. But these larger networking groups, it does not work for that. And I think the reason is simple. It doesn't have threading. Like if someone posts a question, then I got to like scroll back up through like hundreds of other posts just to reply to that one person. It doesn't work for that. Let's see what else. I guess I got to plug the Facebook group for Productize. That's been really active lately. I hop in there on a daily basis and kind of talk with what students are working on. Dan Norris also put together a Facebook group for his book, The 7-Day Startup. That's really active. A lot of good conversations going on in there. So I like to hop into these.
Nice. So, yeah. I'm a passive community guy, which is, I think that's why I like Growth Hackers so much. There's so much volume that you can be a completely passive participant and get a ton of value.
Yep. Yeah. Totally.
Cool. All right, man.
So well, where do we go from here?
I feel like we have demolished productivity across the land. with this episode, but you know, for a good cause.
Well, I mean, people aren't being very productive by listening to us right now, are they?
I don't know.
I hope we record a little bit of actionable at least. Today we're just kind of rambling on about stuff we're reading.
Well, I think we fall into a little bit of the actionable and a little bit of the casual, you know?
Yep.
I think people like listening in on, you know, our situations because we don't, you know, cover it in fluff, and we're in very much similar situations than a lot of people listening. And then every once in a while, we get our act together and we say, "All right, this is how you do X," and it's actionable.
Yes, I hope so.
Yes. Cool. So yeah, let's talk a bit about how we use all this stuff, right? And I had this thought as we were talking about the topic for today. So I'm on the phone call with another founder of a different software company yesterday. And I'm asking him about his pricing. And we get into it and we start talking about MicroConf, and you know, I proposed an attendee talk about how to do outbound sales, all this other stuff. So he's asking me about outbound sales. And he's like, "I'm psyched for your speech. Give me the 5-minute version." So I give him the 5-minute version of it, and he's like, "That's so useful. He's like, "I can't wait to hear the speech. If you have slides, send my way." And right, and it feels very unoriginal to me, like what I'm talking about. So this is the concept that we've talked about. So you read, you listen, you come across this content, you consume it, and then at some point you need to act on it, right? And that's the challenge, that it really should be 50-50, if not, you know, more skewed toward action. And then when you take action on stuff you've learned, all of a sudden, because you're applying your real-world filter to it, right, someone will tell you, "This is exactly how you build a sales funnel." And then you try to do that, and then you have to adjust for your situation, your business, your this, your that. And then on the other end, on the other side of taking that action, all of a sudden you have created a unique process, and you've created value just by taking what you learned and then applying your situation to it. And then all of a sudden what you have on the other end is valuable in a different way.
And I think the reason, part of the reason for that, I think, is just the case study. I think people really, at least I do, really latch on to case studies. I want to hear about how did you actually do it in your business, because I want to hear that story. And I think we all think in terms of stories, and we learn in terms of stories, and that's why stories are so powerful. I think that comes back to why Mixergy has been so effective as a program to help people, like help people run their business. It's because I learned so much just from hearing, like,
yeah, it's really,
so it's like, why are stories so effective? It's because I like to think about or hear about their decision points and why they made certain decisions given the circumstances that they were facing. And that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to follow that exactly, and you shouldn't, because it won't work out the way it worked out for them.
Mm-hmm. But hearing their journey makes it much more real.
Hearing their thought process,
right,
and getting behind the scenes is the best way to learn, because that's the closest that you can get to actually doing it yourself, which I think is the ultimate way to learn anything. And that's why I think like half of this, maybe even less than half of it, is from the books, the podcasts, the blogs, the talks. And then the other half is like, you got to learn it by doing it.
Yeah.
There's just no other way, because you got to find your own way through it.
Yeah. It's like, you know, painting or building something or whatever it is. You can get the raw material. You can get the plans on how to build something. And then you need to take that raw material, that content, in our case, and then you need to get to work. You need to build it. What you create is not going to look exactly like what, you know, the model looks like or what the other person described. But you will have learned how to build your version of that thing. And I think, yeah, it's incredibly useful. Yeah, you're right. Mixergy, that's really the thing. It's tell me your story, and you get to learn through hearing that story.
Yep. And that comes back to, you know, Andrew being such a great interviewer is because he perfected the whole idea of bringing out somebody's story and getting it out in the right sequence and all that. So, should we wrap it up?
Yeah, I think we should. I think, this is cool. I'm going to go back and listen to this. I'm going to procrastinate for hours and read forever.
Yeah, I think this turned out to be a good one. I wasn't sure about this episode going into it, but I think it's good.
Right, let's talk about things we read and listen to for a while. No, I hope it is valuable. I know I had a great time.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, thank you all for tuning in, and we will see you next week. As always, you can go to bootstrappedweb.com, get the previous episodes, and if you're connecting with this stuff, head over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and we'd love to hear what you think. And as always, send in your questions. One of these days, we'll do another Q&A episode and dig into what you guys are working on as well. So looking forward to that, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Thanks as always. Talk to you soon, Brian.
Later, man.